How we doing? Good. 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 We're going to eat some chicken tonight. We're good. It's going to be a party. If you don't have plans tonight, find somebody to have plans with before you get out of here today. If you can't find anybody, you come see me or one of us. We'll help you find a place to hang out tonight. We'd love for you to hang out with us. We're talking about some pretty cool stuff this morning. In fact, I'm going to ask if you've got a Bible, go ahead and get it. Get it out. If you don't have a Bible, our ushers do. They will be glad to bring you one and let them do so. We're going to be studying in the book of 1 Corinthians today as part of what we're doing. We're looking at several passages today. But I challenge you to follow along in Scripture with me as we're reading through some of these things. I think that you'll find that there's some really cool stuff that God is showing us and leading us as a church in right now. To kind of catch you up to speed, in fact, in case you've not been around the last few weeks or something, we've been talking about several things, been announcing some things, some exciting things that we're embarking on as a body, as a church together. And one of those things is that, to kind of back up, basically end of last year, we just kind of had a little powwow, said, man, you know, there's some things that we've not been willing to address. We've not known what to do. We feel kind of helpless against them. And you know, we just said, you know what? God wants to lead us as a church. We know that He wants to lead us, wants to continue to grow His church, wants to continue to use us for His kingdom. We've got to face these things, and we've got to figure out what does God want to do for us to continue to move through those things. And let's be faithful to Him, and let's seek Him and see what might happen. And so we began praying and just saying, you know, whatever comes, we're going to wholeheartedly look at these things as they come at us and say, you know what? If God wants to overcome them, He'll overcome them, and we've just got to be faithful through it. And so, you know, some of those things, just things like, you know, us needing workspace here at the building for day-to-day ministry to be done and that kind of thing. We've never had offices here and some of that kind of stuff. So, you know, kind of overcoming some of those kinds of things. So we announced, you know, we're going to be building a ministry center out here and as part of what's coming up, and we'll be talking about that in the days ahead. But you know, part of this whole thing, as we've been talking, is we came to this passage out of Ephesians chapter 4, and it drives home this thought of there being one body, but not just one body, but one church, one God, one Father, one Spirit, and for us to come around that is kind of what we have felt led to do, especially out of this passage from Ephesians 4. And we'll be reading through Ephesians 4 still in the days ahead. We'll be looking back at it again today. But we've got this whole building one thing. And so when you see that, just so you know, that's kind of what we've adopted as kind of our campaign deal. But at the end of the day, it's not just about building. That's not just talking about building a building. That's talking about us being a part of God building us up as the church that He has called us to be, that we would be one body. And that's not bricks and mortar. That's not hammers and nails and stuff. That's internal, like God working in us and leading us and guiding us. As part of that, obviously some of the other things, we'll be building some stuff. But at the end of the day, the reason that we adopted this is because we wanted to make sure that all along the way, that it was always clear that this whole thing is about God doing the work in us as a church that He wants to do, and that we want Him to lead us in doing that. So it's not just building. When you see that building one, it's not talking about, well, that's because we're building one building. No, we're actually looking at building two buildings, but you know, that's a whole other thing. You know, so in the midst of all this, you know, just know that we're seeking the Lord and trying to figure this out. So as we've been doing the last few weeks, we've been talking about unite. And today I'm still talking about unite. This is the last Sunday I'm going to be talking about that. And we'll probably come back to that from time to time throughout. But we felt like that for us to move forward with any of these things, that we had to be united together as one body. And so for us to be united together as one body, we've got to study what Scripture say about us being united together. And so we've been studying through those things, be studying some of those things today even. And so as we look at that stuff, we'll see in weeks ahead that we're called to equip, that we're called to build, and we're called to love. And those are the other squares that you see up there. But for us today, in the idea of uniting together, I think is very important. Last week I brought a blueprint with me, and it was actually like a preliminary blueprint for the building that we're looking at doing out here. And with that blueprint, you know, I was talking about how Christ, you know, has that passage where he says, you know, that you got to count the cost. He says, if anybody's going to build a tower, they're going to first count the cost and see if they've got enough money to do so. And so, you know, I've been with some friends recently that have been looking at building a house. I don't know if you've ever been through that or not. But the thought process of building a house, whether you're building a little house or a big house, there's something that you're always going to do, and that's that you're going to get plans. You're going to figure out, you know, what is it we're going to build? We're going to have blueprints. So I brought these blueprints last week, and I was talking about the blueprints that, you know, we would never, ever, ever think about building something like a house without a set of blueprints. But how much more important are our lives and the mission of God that we would follow the path that he would have us to follow and be the people that he would call us to be? Why wouldn't we have blueprints for that? And the truth is that so many times in life for us, we feel like God leads us to do something, and we kind of get gung-ho about it, but then we never sit down and really count the cost and really make the plan. And so therefore, these, you know, fly-by-night ideas or things where we feel like God's moved and, you know, those kinds of things, we're like, man, we're all fired up. And then one day we wake up and go, man, I'm not fired up anymore. What's going on? Jesus don't love me anymore. What's that about? No, not it at all. You know, God never changed. We just never made a plan. We'll make a plan to build a house. We'll blueprint all day long for that. But we've got to sit back, and we sometimes have to count the cost. And so we want to do that as one body. We want to do that. And so even today, as we're talking through some of this stuff, this is about us uniting together and trying to follow the Lord. And what's that look like for us in so many different ways? Just because I've got a lot of stuff I want to run through, I want to go ahead and jump into Scripture here together. This passage, 1 Corinthians, is a passage where Paul is talking to the church at Corinth. And he says this. Let's just read together. It says, I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same judgment. Okay, we'll stop there. Just kind of look at that for just a second. I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same judgment. This is Paul's concern for a church that he helped to get started, okay? You know, I look back at the New Testament, and I see Paul as like this master church planter. You know, he's this guy that helped start all these churches, and then he continues to pour back into these churches. And it's this amazing thing where we see God continually using this guy in the lives of not just individuals, but whole churches. You know, it's amazing to get to see what God did through Paul. And so much of the time that he's in prison while he's writing so many of these things and different things. Well, he's writing back to this church at Corinth because he's got a serious concern. And the concern is that he has seen division among them. And he's not liking it. He knows that that's not what God wants for them. He knows that God doesn't want them to be divided. And so he writes to them and he says, look, you know, we're supposed to be of one mind. He says that all of you agree, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same judgment. This amazing thing can happen within the body. You know, when we are one body and we are united in one thing, you know, that there's this amazing thing that happens. And it's that we could work together, that we could be of one mind, that we could be of one spirit. I've been making jokes last week. I might have made them in the first service too. You know, it's that Jesus, because we can be united around him, that we can be united around the gospel, that we can be reunited, that we can be united, yeah, maybe reunited, we can be reunited around the mission of God, that even, you know, Alabama and Tennessee fans can like hang out together and actually, you know, break bread together and things like that, which some of them actually said no to in the first service, and I called them out in their sin. And they repented and everybody cried. Not really, but it probably should have gone down like that, you know, maybe. But no, but, you know, I think for us, you know, to recognize, you know, there's this amazing thing that God wants to do, and he's glorified when we get to be a part of it. He's glorified when we're faithful to it. The tough part is we have opinions. We love our opinions. Sometimes we worship our opinions. We make our opinions the most important things. You go, no, wait a second, Chris. My opinions, they're biblical. They're biblical opinions. Well, I hope they are. I hope that they are. Sometimes they're just opinions, though, you know? And sometimes we love them just a little too much. Here's the truth of it. Here's the truth. That we as a body, we can exist together pursuing the mission of God that He has for us as a body of believers, as one, building one body, one church, that He would use us collectively together, even though that we might share differing opinions at times. You're like, Chris, how's that even possible? I can't work with people that I have that many disagreements. Listen, the only things that we're worried about, solid cornerstones of our faith. Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. No one goes to the Father except through Him. Things like that, we'll always stand on. We can't differ on that. Like that's the thing, that's the thing that's driving this. It's the heart of the gospel, you know. But you know, well, what color should the carpet be or whatever kind of stuff? That's always the church jokes, you know. It's like, you know, what color is the carpet? In fact, my dad's church, they're in the middle of like redoing their worship center right now. And the first question I asked him, I saw him 2 days ago, and he's like, yeah, we just got back over from the worship center, man. It's looking great. They got the carpet in. And I was like first thing I asked, like, what color is the carpet, you know? And he's telling me, I wanted to ask, like, well, how many people are mad about what color it is, you know? I can't help but think that way. But, you know, it's just funny looking at that kind of stuff because, you know, we'll hang our hats on stuff like that sometimes that makes no difference whatsoever when it comes to the mission of God for the sake of the gospel. Paul is worried about the divisions, and rightfully so. We're going to talk about why. Verse 11 says this. It says, for it has been reported to me by Chloe's people that there is quarreling among you. My brothers, what I mean is that each one of you says, I follow Paul, or I follow Apollos, or I follow Cephas, or I follow Christ. And I really like what Paul says here. He says, is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul? And what Paul is saying here is he's saying, look, you got to quit quarreling with each other and going, well, you know, this guy said this and I'm following him. So, you know, but no, this guy said this, I'm following him. So we're at odds with each other. No. Paul calls time out and he says, you know what, guys? He's like, look, it's not about who you follow when it comes to men. It's that we would follow Christ. And that's why he says, is Christ divided? Would we be divided if we're all following Christ? Christ wouldn't have it that way. And that's what he says. And he goes on and he even says, you know, look, were you baptized in the name of Paul? Were you baptized in the name of one of these people? No, we're baptized in the name of Jesus. And he goes on, he says, I thank God that I baptized none of you. This is kind of a weird thing when you first read it that Paul is saying. He's like, I thank God I didn't baptize any of you people. That's what he's saying. I thank God, he says, I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius. Great names. So that no one may say that you were baptized in my name. I did baptize also the household of Stephanus. Beyond that, I do not know whether I baptized anyone else. So what he's saying, he's like, I don't want you to even tie yourself to me, that you would try to follow me, because we are called to follow Christ. And it sounds so simple, but the truth is that we do this sometimes, you know? I see people do this. I see people get so like, you know, like they're so behind like a church person, you know, that like whatever that person says must be gold. Let me just tell you something. I don't care whatever I say, whatever anybody else ever says, that we should always, always go back to the gospel. We should always go back to the word and say, is this biblical? If it smells funny, if it sounds funny, you need to check it with the truth. I don't care who says it. We don't follow people. We follow God. We follow Jesus. Jesus is the lead pastor of 24 Church, if you didn't know. Verse 17 says this, for Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, and not with words of eloquent wisdom, and I love this, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. You know what he's saying right there? He's saying, He's saying, you know what? I don't want this to be about that I'm such a great speaker that my words could woo you in some crazy way that you would just think that that's amazing. I want it to be about the cross. He's making this statement. He's making this point when he says, "Lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power." He's saying the cross is enough. Don't have to be eloquent with my words. This is a great reminder for me, by the way. I mean, I can spend hours upon hours and do many weeks, most weeks, I mean, just hours on end and late nights and all this kind of stuff, thinking and praying over, you know, the message that I'm going to be teaching on Sunday mornings and that kind of thing. And the truth is, at the end of the day, to come and hear about the cross in of itself is enough. The power of God can work through anything He wants to. And Paul makes the point that the power of hearing of the cross of Christ is one of the most powerful things that there is. Here's what happens. Satan plays head games with us. Satan plays head games. Think about it for just a second. Think about all the times that you've talked yourself into believing for maybe short moments of time or whatever it is, that nobody cares. Think about the times that you've talked yourself into believing that you're alone, nobody knows what you're going through, or they may not know what you're going through because you haven't told them, but they couldn't imagine what you're going through, like you're the only person that's ever gone through that in this life, which we know that's not true. You see, Satan wants us to feel things like that. He wants us to buy into things like that. He wants us to believe that nobody cares and that we're alone. I shared some of my struggles from last year and a half, just having moments of feeling that way, thinking that, you know, believing that. It's lies, and you have to see it for what it is. You have to see that it is a lie. It's not true. But Satan wants us to believe that stuff. Why does he want us to believe that stuff? Because when we begin to believe that stuff, when we begin to believe that people don't care, when we believe that we're alone, we believe that we don't belong to one body. We believe that we don't belong to one church. We begin to even believe that we don't even belong to one God. I had somebody that is very dear to my heart begin texting me last night, and they said, "Chris, I just want to quit everything. I just want to give up on everything." And I was like, "What? You know, what's going on?" And they got some major family stuff going on in their life. And I just they said, "I feel like nobody cares and nobody knows what's going on." And so I began to encourage them. Of course, it's on text message, so you do what you can, you know, here. But, you know, I begin to encourage them, begin to remind them of who God is and what He's done, and that there's all these people that care for this person, you know. And this person's like, "Well, I don't really feel that way." And I said, "Well, why don't you feel that way?" "Well, it just feels like nobody cares. Nobody really wants to hear about it. Nobody, you know, whatever." And I said, "Well, have you shared what's really going on with these people? Do they really know what's going on?" And then it kind of came back to, "Well, no, not really. Parts of it." And I said, "Well, you know," I said, if you don't share what's really going on, then people don't know how to be there for you." And let's face it, people, we live in a day and age when we've been made to believe that you shouldn't share and tell what's really going on with you. Internally, like, you don't want people to know that kind of stuff. You know, what if word gets out? So what? What if word gets out? And that's just kind of what I said last night. I told her, "You know, look," I said, "here's the deal." I said, why wouldn't you just share that stuff? Why wouldn't you do that? Why wouldn't you let those people know?" And so in the conversation, she said, "Well, you know, it's because my family's hurt me and I trusted them and they've hurt me. So, you know, how am I supposed to trust anybody else?" And so I was like, "You know, well, what do you have to lose? What do you have to lose?" And her answer back to me was, "I don't know." And that's keeping so many people from biblical community with people around them that care for them, to let them know what they're really dealing with, what they're really struggling with. And so then what happens? They feel alone. And if you feel alone, you could probably identify with what I'm talking about right now. You honestly go, "You know what, you're right. I don't know that I've really shared, or it's been a while, and not really putting myself in a place where, you know, I'm having other people speak into my life and I'm speaking into theirs." You know, it's not just about people speaking into your life. It's about God using you to speak into theirs. God wants to use you for his glory. That is the purpose of your life. If you think the purpose of your life is anything else, good luck. We were created with reason, and the reason was to glorify the Father. So, this whole make Christ known thing, you know, that's what drives, that's what we're building one around, is that it centers around Jesus himself. So Paul here, he recognizes the division stuff. He realizes what Satan's up to. Satan wants to get us to believe lies. And then when we begin to believe lies, we feel alone. We feel ostracized. And then we just begin to go, well, you know what? Nobody cares. Nobody loves me. And Paul's like, don't buy the lie. Be unified. Grow together. Because here's what happens. When we begin to be divided, when we become divided, our spiritual growth is hurt by the division. Our spiritual growth is hurt by the division. And that's not just individually for us, although that's very true. It is for us individuals. Like, we're spiritually hurt, like ourselves, when that happens in our life. But the body, you know, the building one piece of that, the one body, the body is hurt by that. I don't think we realize sometimes like just how, you know, how much God wants to use us collectively together as the body. And I know that we live in America and everything's fast food and you just go get what you want and you leave and that kind of thing. But for folks that, you know, if you're not plugged in as a part of the body of a church, and I don't care if God's not called you to be at this church, I'm telling you, God wants you to be a part of a body of believers, plugged in as a part of the living, breathing organism that is the church. And that's where we get our hands dirty. You know, we get to know each other. I have people say, you know, I've been coming for a while, I hadn't really got to know anybody. Wait, are you just coming to a service and then leaving? Because I guarantee you, I could come, the extroverted me, I could come to a service on Sunday mornings and just come to a service and leave, and I would never really get to know anybody. That's exactly where you will be if that's exactly what you do. Now, I don't say that to beat up on you. I say that to encourage you, because there's this whole other huge piece of what God wants for you to be blessed by, to get to be a part of, and to be used for his kingdom and for his glory. Paul talks in Ephesians 4. We've been studying this Ephesians 4. I want to go back to it in verse 3 here. He talks about this idea of this bond of peace. And I don't know about you, but man, peace sounds pretty good, doesn't it? To have a little peace. Wouldn't you like to have some peace? Every parent right now in this room is thinking, I would give a gold bar for 12 hours of some peace. You know, like, not that I don't love my kids, you know, that's what you're thinking. Like, you're putting an asterisk by it. Like, not that I don't love my kids, but I would give 12 for 12 hours. Oh, you know, Adam Sandler. But, you know, we get so like, man, if we could just have that, you know. And the truth is, you know, and you go, oh, Chris, are you about to tell me that Jesus is going to give me that kind of peace, that I'll get 12 hours a day, like, alone by myself, and I don't have to go to work, deal with people for 12 hours a day? No, I'm not telling you that. I'm telling you this. I'm telling you that there's a peace that only comes from Christ, and it is the peace that really matters. It's the peace in our hearts. Let's face it, the days that we worry ourselves to death are generally not even a lot of times because there's not peace around us, or because of it's because of the worry in our hearts. It's because of the anxiousness in our hearts. And Jesus says, trust me, quit worrying about that. I want to give you peace. He says here, Ephesians 4, verse 3. And again, he's talking to the church, this time church at Ephesus. And he tells them, be eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Read that again. Be eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. He's talking about a unity that comes from the peace that only comes from Jesus. So if you're here today and you're going, man, I'm so wound up all the time. I feel like one of those toys. And I feel like I'm just going to come apart at the seams any second, right? I'm going to encourage you to do something. I'm encouraging you to spend time with Jesus. Now here comes an important question for you. For you to spend time with Jesus means you've got to know Jesus. So do you know Jesus? I mean, has God saved you through Christ and what he's done on the cross? Has that happened in your life? And by the way, there is no like you just grew up in church and all your life you just knew God, okay? Satan knows that God exists. The question is not, do you know that God exists? The question is, do you know Jesus as your Savior? If you didn't know, it's this beautiful thing. God sent his Son, his one and only Son, to die for us on the cross to take the death that we deserve for our sin. Death deserves a punishment. Sin deserves a punishment. That punishment is death. Jesus came, took the death that we deserve for our sin, that if we would believe in him, trust in him, that we could be saved. We could be forgiven. We could have second chances. It's this amazing, beautiful thing. And so I have to ask the question, do you know the Lord? If you know Christ, then I'm telling you here today, you can seek him, spend time with him. What you're going to find in doing so is you're going to find peace. You're going to find peace. It's this funny thing, like life can be so crazy and then like, I finally make myself sit down, spend some time with the Lord, and just in praying, just in spending time, reading a couple of verses and seeking the Lord, it is amazing to me the peace that comes over my heart, and I begin to realize all the junk that I've been worried about. And I just start going, man, that's so dumb of me. Why am I worried about that? Why am I worried about this? God's saying, trust him, follow me, come go with me. He takes care of the ride. You go, well, Chris, well, maybe it's not the ride that, you know, I'd hoped for. Whatever. I'm telling you that the ride is more amazing than we will ever know. And we think that we've got it figured out. Adam and Eve thought they had it figured out. See where that got them? It's very simple. God has a plan. His plan's better than ours. He's our creator. Why would we not trust that his plan is better than ours? All we got to do is believe, trust, spend time with him. We will receive peace as a byproduct of spending time with the Lord. It just happens. So he says, Paul says in this passage again, verse 3, be eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Verse 4, he says, there is one body. There you go again, building one. There's one body and one Spirit, again, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. And we all are looking for that call. We're all looking like, man, I know God's got a plan. I know he's got a call on my life. He wants to use me to do X, Y, and Z while I'm here sucking wind. And you're right. But for us to find that, we've got to cling to this. You know, and instead, what do? We go out and we start trying to make it on our own, you know? We don't mean to. We're working hard. Nothing wrong with working hard. He says there's one body and one Spirit. That body he's talking about is this. It's the church. That we would work together. You know, this amazing thing happens. And I've seen it happen. When people that come together that never would have been together before, God uses them to come together and overcome differences or even opinions or whatever it is to do something for the glory of God. When that happens, God is glorified in such a way. It's amazing. It's amazing. Think about it for just a second. Think about what the world thinks when we forgive somebody that has done us wrong and they look at us and go, why would you do that? I would never forgive them. Well, of course they wouldn't. They, They don't understand what grace is. They don't understand what Christ has done for us. We didn't deserve the cross. We deserved it, but we didn't deserve Jesus to take it for us. Jesus showed us grace. We've been called to show that grace. When we show that grace, when we show that kind of love, that's God's love. Because that love doesn't make sense in this world. When we're able to be a part of the process where God gets to show his love through us in allowing us to be one body together, to serve one another, to be there for one another, to forgive one another, even when we don't deserve it. You're like, oh, here we go. Talking about forgiving people again. You know? It's that whole, like, I want to love them, but I want to love them from afar, right? I don't want to love them right up next to me. They can just stay over there. Good Southern folk, you know, love them from afar, you know? So, but the truth is that God has called us to this. An amazing thing happens. The power of God's love is supernatural. The power of my love and your love, it isn't as big a deal as what we think. You know, like we think, you know, I'm gonna go love on that person. You know, I'm gonna go, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, it's good to want to care for people, obviously. What's much better for us in this life is when we understand that we can do that, and God can love them through us. When we're doing it not for the sake of, you know, I want to do this to make me feel better, but I want to do this because of what God has done for me, and I want him to be glorified in my life, and I want to be obedient and obey and all those things. When that happens, when we do it from the standpoint of we know that God is leading us to do this, amazing things begin to happen, because that's God's love working through us and not our love working through us. And his love is supernatural, and it changes lives. That's a huge deal. That's a huge piece of the puzzle that I think some days we just miss. And I'll just be honest with you. I told this earlier. You know, I'll be honest with you, and you might want to fire me after I tell you. So just be ready. You know, there have been days in the last couple years of my life when I just sometimes didn't even want to be around people. I mean, to the point where, like, you know, somebody'd call and they'd be like, hey, I'd like to talk to you about something. And you know, if it was somebody I might not know real well or something, I might be less likely to just go, well, I'm real busy. You know, what you got going on? You know, and it, by the way, it's not good for a pastor to get to the point where he's not really sure about really wanting to be around people. That's bad, okay? You know, I recognize this, okay? But I had my days. We all have days, right? And so I was having some days, and there'd be moments I'd put people off or, you know, not jump at the opportunity maybe when I should have or whatever. And God convicted me over it. God showed me I was being selfish. Let me tell you what's happened in the last couple of months of ministry in my life. I hope that you hear this completely as bragging on what God is doing. Okay, that's because that's all I want you to see or hear. I have watched God do some amazing things in some people's lives that I have hardly known, because I've been willing to say yes. And I'm like you. I got plenty of stuff going on. I got a side business. I've lost sales sometimes. But I told a church planner here about a week ago, at a little church planner meeting that I went to, you know, they were asking how that was going. I said, you know, it's kind of crazy sometimes. And I said, well, do you ever end up, you know, sacrificing that for ministry or whatever? I said, yeah. I said, I have. I said, but you know, I've come to this point in my life where I recognize, you know what, God is in control. And I got to quit thinking about it of like, well, what if I had been in control and we had done that my way right then? And instead, so when that person calls and says, hey man, I really need to talk, do you have some time? That's God putting somebody in front of me and I need to say yes. And say, okay, you got the reins. You want me to talk to that person today? We're going to talk to that person today. We're going to figure that out. We're going to make that happen. And I have seen God doing some amazing things in people's lives. I was flying around here Tuesday. Almost forgot about an appointment. Just running so crazy. An appointment with a young lady in our church has been coming just a short period of time. And I hope she doesn't mind me sharing it, because I'm going to share it. And, you know, awesome stuff happening, great ministry stuff happening, just running crazy, wide open, whatever. And we made a point, we sat down and talked. So we get to go sit down and talk. And she sent me this, it's funny, she sent me this big old email. It's got all this stuff in it she wanted to talk about. Like all the stuff that's happened in her past and stuff she's struggling with and everything. And so we're going to sit down, I think, to talk about that stuff. I'm not real sure, but I'm fine, whatever. And so we sit down and we begin to talk. And one of the first things that comes out of her mouth is she says, "Chris, I'll just be honest with you. I am completely lost and don't know what to do." And when I hadn't told her this, when she said that, I had shivers go down my spine, and I knew right then and there, I knew that Jesus was going to save her that day. And we talked, and I'm sure she came in thinking we're going to talk about other issues in her life, whatever. We end up talking. She ends up asking me to explain the gospel. And we talk, and I explain the gospel best I can, and we talk. And she received Christ as her Savior on Tuesday afternoon. That will jack up your Tuesday. And I didn't care about anything else. Folks, that's what it's about. We got to do it together. We got to unite. We can't do it alone. We're not called to do it alone. We're called to do it together. We're called to be the church together for one another. When people call and say, "I need you. I need your help. I need you to talk. I need to cry on your shoulder. I need your forgiveness." And you go, "Oh, wait a minute now. You know, I don't have to just go giving my forgiveness out, do I?" Well, yeah. It's kind of what we're called to do. There's one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. Colossians 3, verse 12, says this. It says, "Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience." Here you go, verse 13. "Bearing with one another. And if one has complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these," here you go, "all these put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony." That's God's love. God's love does amazing things when we follow Him and we let it flow through us. Amazing things happen. It says, "Above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. Be thankful." Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. Don't you want that peace? Don't you want to be a part of that? I'm telling you, folks, man, if you haven't ever been a part of a church that is really trying to follow the Lord and is there for you and you're there for them and all that, and I'm going to tell you, it's messy at times. There's times it's like, man, golly, what are we going to do? Things arise. It's like things, you know, and you think, man, I don't even know. These people are crazy, or, you know, whatever it is. And the truth is that when we work through the messes together and we do this together, God is glorified, because it is obviously something that He is doing and not something that we're doing on our own. Because let's just face it, we got enough differing opinions in the room. We got enough different backgrounds in the room that we could all just go our separate ways. And in this day and age, that would make more sense. So the only reason for us to do this at this point is for us to unite around the cross. "And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body." God wants to change us, make us more like Him. And that process sometimes is kind of tough, because as we seek the Lord, we find out things about ourselves that we maybe we didn't know or we weren't willing to face. You know, whether it's issues, sin issues of pride or arrogance or whatever it may be along the way, we just see things. And God shows us things, and then we're convicted about them, and then we got to do something about it. We got to start to purge ourselves of those things. And really, that's a process of allowing Jesus to be better than those things. That's believing that Jesus is better than those things. That's what we do in essence. When we sin, it doesn't matter how big the sin is or how small the sin is. When we sin in those moments without recognizing what we're doing most of the times, what we're doing is we're saying, I know better than God does. I'm going to be God right now. I'm going to make the decision. I think that this is better. And you see this day and age, especially so many people taking different passages of Scripture and going, well, that Scripture's not valid anymore, and that Scripture doesn't. Listen, God knows better, and He loves us, and He cares for us. God wants to change us and make us more like Him. Our unity has to be centered around the gospel. It can't be centered around building a building. And it can't be centered around having buildings. And it can't be centered around being this church or we got the best church. It's nothing. None of that. None of that. We don't ever need to hang our hats on things like that. In fact, even say that, be arrogant. God wants us to be centered around Him. He wants us to be centered around His mission, and that is to make Christ known. That's what we want to do. Talking with Nathan this week, he brought this passage up. I hadn't even thought about it. He said, one of the Beatitudes from Sermon on the Mount, which we just talked through not that long ago, blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers. You remember the rest of it? For they shall be called sons of God. And that right there is like tattoo worthy, isn't it? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. I mean, like, it's just like, wah. Why? Why would a peacemaker be called a son of God? Why would somebody recognize somebody that's a peacemaker as being someone that would be a child of God? We think about that for a minute. And this is what Nathan brought up. I loved it. He said, you think about it. Sons are identifiable with their dads. You see a son, and somewhere in that son, you see dad, don't you? I see some sons and dads in here today, and I see that. I see a son, and I see dad. And I see aspects of dad that's in that son. And it might be a work ethic, or it might be how they look, or it might be how they act, or whatever it is, I love it. When people see a peacemaker, they will see God. Because a son looks like the Father. Do people see that in you? Do people see that in us? Are we seen as peacemakers? Are we being seen as Jesus? Or are we being seen what we want to be seen as sometimes? Which is something completely different. God wants to use us for His glory. The son looks like his dad, and when they see peace, they will see the Father. I brought up that if we're going to have a blueprint, if we're going to count the cost in our lives, it means we've got to take a second, we've got to step back. As Jesus said, count the cost. If we're going to make blueprints to the things that we feel like God is leading us to in this life, then that means taking some time. It means seeking the Father. It means seeking time with Him. And you look at that. If you look at that from a builder standpoint, and in your life, God has given you the ability to be kind of a builder, if you will, over the temple that He's given you, your own body, your own life. And He's saying, follow Me with that. And I think about a builder. A builder, they have a blueprint. And the blueprint says that we're going to do this. We're going to put the bathroom over here. We're going to put the master bedroom over here. We're going to put the living room here. We're going to put the kitchen here. And it's going to have a sink over here and all these things, right? for our own personal lives, if we're going to put together a blueprint, we've got to listen. We've got to listen to the homeowner. Well, who's the homeowner? Well, you know who the homeowner is. He bought us with his blood on the cross. The homeowner is Jesus. So for us to seek Christ and to seek his will for the blueprint is really the name of the game. But there's this catch, because there's this other piece, and that's this bond of peace that comes from being led by one Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that we would be led by God. So that on a Tuesday afternoon, when you may have too much going on, and you think, man, I really am really too busy to really be talking to somebody, you know, but that need arises, we have to recognize that sometimes the homeowner has a different plan than what we do on paper, right? And we've got to be willing to make the changes, because we're just builders. We're just builders, and we've got to follow the homeowner's requests. And we got to remember that his plan is always better. And I know that as builders, we think that we've got it figured out. Well, I'm a builder. You don't tell me. You're just a homeowner. You don't. No, he knows. He knows. And his plan is always going to be better. I got another passage of scripture, but I'm not going to read it because we don't have time. I encourage you to read it. It's 1 John 3 and 4, chapters 3 and 4. Specifically, it talks about God's love. And, you know, you can check that out for yourself later on. Brought some things with me today here. I'm going to kind of change this around from how I did it first service. I'm real good about, like, having some of the thoughts of something like an illustration in mind, but then, like, last minute, like, having, like, some other thought of, like, oh, well, if we did that, that would be really good. So this morning, literally this morning, I'm texting the guys and I'm saying, hey, you know, it'd be really nice if we had, of course, I already knew we had the wood up here, but if we had some wood and we had some blocks, I said, man, that'd be great for this illustration. So Penny, on his way in this morning, stopped by a job site and borrowed some blocks for me. So we'll return those after a while, I guess. Don't tell anybody. So here we are trying to unite together. We're trying to follow the Lord. And sometimes when you follow the Lord, he gives you a place where you know he wants you to be. I got to tell you, when I was 26 years old and God laid on my heart that we were going to start a church, I was like, oh, what? Really? Like, I thought I had stuff figured out. I'm going to be a youth guy forever, get to party with teenagers all the time. We just play video games and eat pizza and talk about Jesus. And, you know, it's just fun, you know. And God said, go and build a church. Well, I'm over here. And as time went on, some other people came around us. And I'll never forget all the people that have come around being a part of this happening as time has gone on. And I recognize that without those people, you know, that have done that, those families that have come along, you can't get from point A to point B. And so, you know, for instance, you know, if I'm over here at point A and I need to get over there, well, I need some help. Can't do it alone. So, you know, these families, they've stuck in there. You have any idea what's going to happen if I try to step out there in the middle of this thing? Yeah, I'm not going to do that. Although I know it would really entertain you to see whether or not I fall off into the floor. You know, you sometimes need people to help you do these things, you know. And sometimes it's in the smallest of ways. When I look back and I think about people that God has used, families, individuals that God has used to be a part of 24 Church to help lead us from point A's to point B's, at times when God has led us go from an A to a B, the names just flood my mind of these people. But the truth is, it wasn't just like one person. It wasn't just one family. It was a bunch of them, you know? And so as time has gone on, we've had others. And they've come along and they've been strength to the whole thing. And so now, you know, when I look at it, I look at all these other people that have been a part, and I think about, you know, how God has used all these families and all these people, you know, and all of a sudden, you know, you've got something completely different there. You know, you've got these families, these people that oftentimes you might think they must be like spiritual giants that have been a part of the church. And I'll be honest with you, some of them probably are spiritual giants, in my opinion, like of how close they are to the Lord and how much they seek his word and things like that. But a lot of times, many of them are people that I see, and the reason they come to mind is because they've been faithful. They've been faithful. And in their faithfulness, has nailed some of these things together. I scared the mess out of Kathy Higgins before the services started. We shot one of these things. It was pretty awesome. And I think about each one of these nails, and I'm thinking about a family's name right now. And another one. And another one. And all of a sudden, we've got something completely different. We've got what God has allowed to happen as this church has been full of people that have been faithful to the call to glorify God in the small things. Let me just say something. For those of you that have been a part of that, thank you. For those of you that are kind of looking on and you're even looking for a church right now or whatever it is, and you're trying to figure out, you know, is this where I'm supposed to be or whatever? I'm just here to tell you today that God wants to use you, whether it's in this church or another church. You are called to be a part of one body, okay? And if it's this church, we don't want you to just come and sit. We want you to really be a part. That's not a guilt thing. I long for you to be close to the Lord and get to experience what it's like to be a part of the one body. Don't retire on Jesus, okay? Don't go into retirement because your kids got older, whatever. I don't care. Nobody cares. We were created for the glory of God. God wants to use you that others might know him. And along the way, it's been amazing because now I look back and all these people are some of my very best friends, are people that when I have the time, I get to go eat lunch with, I get to hang out with. Some of them, it's kind of a running joke, like we've never really gotten to hang out, but man, we have served together and we have been through some stuff together. And it's amazing. God wants to use us, but he wants to use us in unity, nailed together for the strength that we need to do what we've been called to do. Bow your head for just a second. There's one thing left that as you've got your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I just want you to listen to something. And it's the sound of something that God has done for us. I'm reminded today that with what God did in sending his only son, that it came with a sound, and that sound came with pain, and that pain was putting Jesus on that cross. And that's why all of this is worth it.